Peter Thomas Fornatale here, recording a new spot for our founding partner, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. So proud to work with these guys for more than a year now. They do amazing work. We as horse players know it's important to give back to the athletes who are at the center of this sport. There's no sport without the horses. We want to support them when their racing days are done. Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation makes that work happen, and we want to give to them. And the best way to do so is through our custom URL, trfinc.org/players. If you have a big hit because of this show, or even not because of this show, and you're feeling generous, head over there, trfinc.org/players, and make a gift and let them know we sent you. That URL one more time, trfinc.org/players. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatale, back with you on this Monday, March 9th, very far from the Brooklyn Bunker. I'm pretty far from the studio in Surrey. I am now up at an undisclosed location in Cheltenham. Might be near the top of Evesham Road, closer to the Cheltenham Racecourse than the car park. Maybe not. I'll let you decide. I'd like to say happy to be back with you. We were going to do a show tonight anyway, but not the show we were planning on because of some breaking news. And to discuss that with you, as well as the Triple Crown prep races from the weekend, I will bring in the regular co-host of this program. He's the People's Champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, my man?
TTF, you're a legend. I tell you what, if someone tried to get me to do a podcast hours or a couple of hours after Keeneland, after a day at Saratoga, after the Kentucky Derby, I don't know if I'd be in good shape.
I tried. I've tried to do that with you, and you've always said no. You've always said, call me tomorrow. I need about 9 hours to sleep this thing off.
Well, we're glad to have you. And unfortunately, we wish it was under, I don't want to say better circumstances. Some might say these are great circumstances, but under circumstances nonetheless.
I was very surprised. I'm here. I was doing some recording today for this week's In the Ring show, visiting a world-class brewery in Barkley, all kinds of plans up here. I was planning on working. We were hoping to do a show tonight. And it started innocently enough with a friend, a guy I consider a friend. I don't know him well. I met him at the Breeders' Cup, asking an innocent question about the news that came out today and saying, you know, what did I think? This was in the immediate aftermath of the news being broken of these arrests in Florida. And I said something to the effect of, well, I, you know, innocent till proven guilty. I haven't even seen anything about this. I'm sure we'll be talking about it later. And as a result of this noncommittal response, some people out there decided that, I believe a term that was used was industry shill. I don't know, man. I mean, all I know is I kind of like to have some information before spouting off. And to be honest, even now, 6 hours later, I haven't had a chance to read this indictment that came down. But in my main defense of my original tweet, which seems ridiculous to even have to say this out loud, is, hey, is there anything wrong with trying to gather information before passing judgment? And even now, when I have a pretty clear picture of what's in this indictment, and it certainly seems very likely that this is a real thing that's going to stick, what is the exact need to rush to judgment and spout off about things that we don't exactly know 100% of the facts of? I'm not sure, but I'll throw it to you, JK. You've had a chance to read through this indictment. We'll start simply enough. What did it say?
Well, first of all, let me give my little quick disclaimer, and this is not like a I'm not scared of anybody, including our partners, right? I read it as a horse player. I read it as a fan of the game. I read it as an interested bystander, right? Like, if you came here for facts and stories, I recommend you go to Ray Pollock's website, you go to DRF and read Matt Hegarty's piece if you want facts and whatever. And I encourage you to read the indictment. All I'm going to say is that it looks bad. I don't think anyone's like shocked, right? I mean, there was a point in time where I used to have a joke emoji. I don't think that there's anyone who's
I forgot about the joke emoji. I forgot about that.
I don't think anyone
that
is like whatever. So my point of this conversation, I think, is to give the horse player's view on how this has or has not affected us as horse players, and then just give my thoughts on what it means to the industry moving forward and so on. But if you're looking for me to like pronounce people's names right and say, you're going to get a lot of, I don't know, some vet, one of those guys did this. That's what you're going to get from me. And if you have a problem with that, then you can pay me more money to be a news reporter. That's not what I am, right? I'm a horse player, and I talk about the game I love, and that's it. So that's my disclaimer. If you're looking for accuracy from me, I'm not going to like say that, you know, that I think Pete was a vet on one of these. I'm going to at least steer you down the right direction of my opinion, but you're not getting facts from me.
Reporters, we are not, and I certainly consider myself somebody who does have a vested interest in marketing horse racing, but the idea, and I really did, when I said I was getting off Twitter, I got off Twitter, and I didn't look. There's like 78 messages. I don't know. I'm probably not even going to bother reading them. Sorry if folks are really, if you're somebody who I'm actually friends with or we've interacted with a lot and you definitely want a response and you go to the inthemoneypodcast.com contact me stuff, I will get you a response. I'm not trying to blow off the people who are loyal to us. But the idea that somehow I was reserving comment out of loyalty to an advertiser is absurd. I mean, there's no advertiser that has a vested interest in the ongoing success of the training careers of Jorge Navarro and Jason Service. Again, I just wanted to actually gather information and consider some things before spouting off. You said things didn't look good in the indictment, and I would imagine from a horse player point of view, there were a lot of names in there, but from a horse player point of view, the two names that would be at the top of the list of concern would be Navarro and Service. Correct, JK?
Yeah, those are the two, at least the big names, right? The ones that matter. I think there's a mention of like another guy that I think I've seen his name in PPs a couple times, but I don't think, you know, obviously he's involved allegedly. But yeah, the two big names are those two. It's like I said, it doesn't look good. It surely doesn't look good. But essentially if you've been under a rock, I'm going to give it to you in two sentences. There seems to be a big old conspiracy and a whole lot of hoopla, something you might see on an episode of Billions or The Sopranos or some other drama on HBO, where there's been this like whole entire scheme of some exchanging and some moving and some buying and some selling and some renaming and some unfortunate and despicable treatment of horses. Some accusations about how and why XY Jet is where XY Jet is now, which is no longer with us. There's a whole breakdown of the interwoven situations between them. I tell you what, and look, and this probably isn't the first thing to say, but one of my main takeaways from this is, if it's true, allegedly, I cannot believe Jorge Navarro was helping Jason Service.
It does seem weird.
They're in every race together. In the same place. It's not like Jason was in so and so and Jorge was in so and so. That was bizarre to me, but it also can lay out the greed that could be involved, allegedly. Can I just do like a blanket allegedly?
Yeah, you don't have to keep saying allegedly. Cool. And so somebody out there saying, oh, but Jonathan, 98% of these cases are adjudicated in favor of the FBI. They don't do this, blah, blah. Look, we're not, that may well be true, and we're not trying to defend people who are very likely guilty, but at the same time, we're going to have more information. We're going to have definitive information, and maybe we can wait for some of the recriminations until that point happens. What exactly makes you a shill to want to wait for the courts to do their thing? Just because they're likely to do their thing, like, why do we now have to lump on? I mean, how much does it really serve the world to say, if this is true, these people are despicable and deserve to be thrown in jail for a very, very long time? Yes, that is true. But what exactly is the benefit of saying that now as opposed to waiting until we have even more facts and that situation becomes a reality? Can you explain that to me?
No, I mean, I just think that people, you know, look, I'll say this. I'm happy that people like wanted to hear what we had to say. You know, I think it's kind of cool. So I'll say that. The other thing is that you clearly have never seen an episode of The Sopranos if you think this thing's over, right? Wait till these jokers start rolling, and they're going to start rolling on each other. The accused vets, the accused trainers, the accused assistants, the accused this and that and the other. Boy, when they get behind that hot lamp and they start asking them lots of questions, it's going to be like an episode another 48 or a quick 48 or whatever that is, the 48 hours. they're gonna start rolling on each other pretty quickly here. So I think the important part I want to talk about, Pete, is what are the implications to our game, right? Like what are the implications to our game? Because I talk to a lot of people, trainers and owners and all kinds of people today. And the sentiment that I got across the board was, this is awful. And this is so bad for our game from a perception standpoint. But on the other side of the coin, it's like so good. Now, it's so good that they're showing the FBI has stepped in to say that this is something that can't take place. And that I love the fact that the indictment continuously mentioned that the betting public was defrauded in this situation, and I appreciate that notion. Although I don't think there's any horse players that are tossing horses from Jorge Navarro and Jason Serkis and being shocked when they run off the screen. But if you are one of those, and
still isn't right, it still is fraud. I mean, that's correct.
Of course. But I will say this: here is my editorial. Is like, I feel like the people that were the most hurt by this situation, if it was true, were other trainers and other owners, right? The horse players, I know these guys are winning at 30% clips. I know what so-and-so is first off the claim. I know to expect what a horse that looks like he can't pick up his feet switches barns. I have a feeling I know what's going to happen next. I'm not saying it's right. I'm simply saying that on the list of people that were really taken advantage of and really stuck it to, I don't think that we're on the top of that list as the horse players. I feel like owners, breeders, imagine the person who wrote $30 million for a stallion check, and that stallion, some of his biggest races were in question.
Well, what about the connections of Midnight Bee Sue? I mean, you're talking about $10 million. Not quite, but you know, whatever the difference between what she won and $10 million is that were potentially gained, assuming this information in the indictment is correct. I mean, I take your point. We, as horse players, had signal to know that these horses have been being moved up. There have been various stories as to why that may be partially true, maybe not at all true, but we did have some signal to go on. And I take your point about the horseman in question being, look, we're an aggrieved party too, but I take the point that there is another party that's been aggrieved more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what if you have a mare in foal to one of these horses right now? You know, you don't think that there's going to be a lot of backlash, a lot of legal suits, I think, that are going to be popping up throughout. Like I said, I'm not here to like run through the facts and stuff. I think one thing that I wanted to make sure got a call on here is the unfortunate nature of what happened to XY Jet. And look, like you said, we're going to see as things come out exactly what happened. But it doesn't look good. It sure doesn't feel good.
And I also want to point out that part of my resistance to talk about this is the limitations of Twitter. You know, not only had I not had an opportunity to read the indictment, and as I said, even now as we sit here at, 9:30 or 10:30 now, local time on Monday night, haven't had a chance to read this indictment in full. But, you know, spouting off on Twitter, it's just not... It's not really my jam. You know, I have an opportunity to come on here and talk to you. We love to do this show when we can have our first bite into these conversations in person. That's what we're doing here. You know, I've got a podcast. Why do I need to respond to some miscreant on Twitter?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, the nature of this, we can't pause. I don't know what a miscreant is, but it sounds like an annoying person.
You don't want to be a miscreant. Trust me on that.
Okay, sounds good. A couple of other topics, obviously our friends at NYRA came out with a statement, which I appreciate.
I haven't seen that. What did they say?
They just said essentially that the accused are going to have to figure something out. These horses are going to have to be moved into someone else's names and so on and so forth. From what I understand, look, I told you no facts here, but from what I understand, Parks scratched all the horses of one of the accused today. So kudos to them for jumping on that. And I'm sure, like I said, more stuff's going to come up as we go. It was an interesting read, though. The only thing I tweeted about today, Pete, I don't know if you saw it, was I love the show Billions, and I feel like I'm right in the middle of an episode. Yeah. Reading the indictment with, you know, I don't want to talk about this on the phone. You know, I mean, like people saying, I don't want to talk about this on the phone. You know, people saying like really egregious and endangering things to themselves on the phone. They should have been watching Billions, and they probably all would have got burner phones. So we never would have found out about all this. But
yeah, there's this app called Signal. You wrongdoers might want to look into, because you don't have to have this stuff recorded. But I mean, hey, the fact of the matter is, you mentioned it before. People talking about how it's potentially bad for racing. Sometimes things have to get worse before they get better, and maybe this is an instance of that. Look, I don't want to be Pollyannish about it and say, hey, I'm sure, you know, if and when this ends up being true and this goes down, that will eradicate all cheating from the sport. But to have something like this happen, as embarrassing as it is, especially touching maximum security, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a minute, the message sent, the signal sent, is one that you would like to think could lead to a cleaner game in the big picture of life. I mean, I think it's probably naive to think that if this wrongdoing was caught, that it's all the wrongdoing in the world that's going on. I mean, I'll say that too. But the fact of the matter is that having consequences for wrongdoing, which it certainly sounds like from everything you're saying, from the indictment and the research we've done, that this is going down. This isn't some PETA video that was trumped up and is going to be going away in 2 weeks. That this is something that's going to stick. It's something that I think, despite a short-term black eye, could be a good thing in the big picture of life for horse racing. What do you think?
No, I agree. Look, this ain't local police. You know what I mean? I read a stat earlier today that like said in like 2012, the Department of Justice reported like a 93% conviction rate from the FBI. They don't play, right? They do not come after you with those blue jackets with the yellow letters on the back, you know, which is one of the first pictures I saw this morning of an FBI agent out in front of one of the accused houses or barns or whatever. They don't play. They mount a strong case against you, and then they pounce when they know it's airtight. So I saw someone today say, these people should all have a lifetime ban. I think a lifetime ban is the least of their concerns.
Yeah.
Like
they might not
eat dinner with their families for a long time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is a real deal. Yeah.
It's fascinating. Have you seen in any of the reporting what the next steps are in this process, and what length of time is this going to take to go down? You did mention that the tracks are not going to be accepting entries from the trainers involved, but we also know racing, that could mean they're still involved and they just run in somebody else's name. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, for one thing. But in terms of the legal process, have you seen any information about what happens next?
Well, there's not going to be the old okey-doke in every situation where the trainer gets some days and then they run the trainer in the assistant's name.
That's not happening.
Some of the assistants are cellmates.
Okay. Well, so that's a problem.
Yeah. So some of the assistants are cellmates. So I think that's not going to probably be an obstacle. I think that, you know, I didn't see a timeline. I'd imagine, like all things, that, you know, these things take time and be a long drawn out process, and you know, we got to do the bail thing and then the hearing and this and the discovery and all these things. So I tell you what though, man, it's you know, and look, a lot of it is, it's sad, really. You know, it's sad for the harm it's going to have on our game. We were already in a really bad spotlight. You gotta think, right? If you don't know a lot about racing and you're a sports fan, or you're thinking, you know, you're a potential person who would want to get involved, like the last five stories you've seen about racing are like horses dying at Santa Anita, two guys robbing at Aqueduct, the DQ in the Derby, and then this. It's like these are not positive stories that make people think like, oh, that's a fun game I like to get involved in, you know? It's not, and I'm not trying to make light of it. It's not funny, really, but
it, you laugh so you don't cry. You laugh so you don't cry in a situation like this. But I still stand by the idea that it'd be a huge, I mean, not that they, with the FBI involved, racing doesn't have the option to sweep it under the rug. But even if they did, you know, sometimes you got to take your lumps and try to come out the other side and clean things up. And if what is being said in this indictment is true, and I mean, from an animal welfare point of view, from a fairness point of view, I mean, it's just beyond the beyonds. You know, we've been hearing horse players make, you know, comments about these particular trainers in particular for years. But, you know, they also make comments about every other trainer that wins at a certain win percentage. This is a whole new ball game, and I don't think it should necessarily become open season on anybody who's winning. But I think that you really have to accept that if at the end of the day, for me to bring something like this to light, I just see it as a potential turning point that could ultimately be a good thing for racing, and maybe that's too glass half full or whatever, but it's you know, it's really the only option I have when I'm looking at this situation with any distance.
So I'm excited to ask you a question, because we've made jokes often about my not knowing a whole lot about baseball, right?
Okay.
I mean, I get it. Stick. It takes hours for it to be done. And once upon a time, it was a really cool and interesting sport, and it had its obstacles, and it seems to have made a small comeback. It's not where it was. And I think part of that reason is because of their scandal that seems very similar to ours. But the other part of it is, you know, obviously the speed of the game and people's attention span. What did baseball do wrong? What did they do right that horse racing should say, oh, hey, we kind of have a blueprint for this, and this is what we should do and how we should handle it. What did they miss? What can we do? What should we do? What are your thoughts in relation to baseball? It seems very, very similar.
It is and it isn't. I think what to me is so much darker about the racing scandal is when a human being is making decisions that another sentient being like a horse has no say in the matter of. It's so much darker and so much worse and so much more criminal, especially with the amount of money on the line, both in the races and in the wagering pools. I've got to be honest. I think that this scandal, should it all go down the way that it seems like it's going to go down, is far worse than anything that happened in baseball, and it's not close. But your question still leaves plenty to chew on in terms of the marketing of the sport itself. And I don't know. I wish I had an easy answer for it. I mean, I think baseball persisted because I feel like to some degree in the PED era, like, everybody was in on it. Like, I mean, I know I was as a fan. You knew what was going on just physically looking at the players in a way. Again, I'll stand by this. I don't think, yes, the two trainer, you know, Service and Navarro, you look at the success of those barns and you wondered how it was possible. And the idea that it is supernatural was not surprising. But you hear the same thing about a lot of trainers that weren't guilty. You look back at the baseball era, and I think it's something kind of similar, where you had certain people being busted, certain people not being busted. But I think that the fans, to some degree, knew what was going on the entire time in both instances. What makes the racing situation much darker and harder to overcome in a way is the idea that you had these animals who are not complicit in the least being involved in the situation. And I think that makes it more important to throw the book at the people who were involved, because, you know, athletes who are making their own decisions, you know, who are they really? I mean, they're defrauding the baseball players who cheated. What they were doing was hideously unfair to the other baseball players whose ethics didn't allow them to cheat. And that's bad and it's wrong and it's a big problem. But in this situation, you've got something that rises well beyond that into the level of the clearly criminal. So I didn't really answer your question, and it was a good question, but that's what I got for you.
You made a great point, and one that I'm not that I'm embarrassed, but because it was just meant to be thought provoking. But you're 100% right. I mean that's the huge difference that almost makes it unfair to compare, because you're right. These animals, I would imagine that based on what was alleged, like the animals lost their lives because of this, right? And that's obviously unacceptable and completely unforgivable. And like I said, I know you hadn't read the indictment yet, but when you see it, I think that your sentiment will grow more. It's like it wasn't just the quote unquote EPO stuff that you've heard that word at racetracks for a long time. It wasn't just all of that. It wasn't all that PED stuff. There was also some pain things, some blocking things, some don't feel this things that make it even. You know, getting a horse to run faster is gross. Getting horses not to feel themselves and understand when they could be in danger is despicable.
We're in Michael Vick territory at that point. You know, I mean, there's no ethical difference between that and dogfighting. It's arguably worse, but it's certainly in the same ballpark.
If you're a horse player like me, like how are we supposed to feel about this? I mean, and you as well, but how are we supposed to feel about this, right? I mean, I think back in my brain when you're going through all these and you see some of the names mentioned, Pete, there's names mentioned like World of Trouble. There's names mentioned like Maximum Security. So when you think about that, I think to myself, I've had a huge score on Maximum Security. I've shingled World of Trouble. So you kind of feel dirty.
Yeah.
But then I also think of the times that like I tried to get cute and beat one of those and they beat me as well. It's like, from a morality standpoint, you know, how am I supposed to feel as a horse player and as a human? Or am I just being hard on myself and I have nothing to do with it?
Yeah, I don't think you have anything to do with it. You know, we as horse players look at the information we have and we make the best decisions we can. World of Trouble is a great example because if you'll remember, there was that tape of that workout of his where, I mean, I've never seen a horse look so ouchy. And I couldn't bet him in the Breeders' Cup that year. It was the Breeders' Cup in Louisville because of watching that video. And, you know, he ran the race like nothing was wrong. And you know, again, it did suggest something supernatural.
It's funny, Pete, that's exactly what you said about baseball. You knew Barry was going to do 70 and change, right? And it's like all of us, if it was anyone else, we fade. But it's like, well, it's service. He'll be all right on game day.
Yeah, he can do it. The kind of phrase you might hear a horseman even say is, oh, he's got a way to fix it, euphemistically. Yeah. I mean, it's known that this stuff happens and you know, these guys were, you know, doing things that were supernatural. And it does. I mean, I like what you said, man. It makes you feel dirty. It does. But I mean, I don't think you can, at the same time, I don't think you can blame yourself as a horse player for knowing that the workouts for certain barns don't reflect what the horse is going to do in the afternoon. I mean, we're out there supporting this game, betting money, being the lifeblood of this game. We can't, you know, you can't overthink. Can't overthink it from an ethical point of view. I think you just have do what you're going to do.
It's so weird, man. You close your eyes and you think about those horses, those runners, and then I'll transition to another thought. You close your eyes and you think about that, and you think to yourself, like, oh, man, that makes sense. Oh, geez, I can't believe that. Oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, exactly. That's because that happened, and I felt this way. You know, it's like I can go back and go forever. You know, that you know, that day Firenze Fire runs off the screen and beats Mendelssohn. It's like, you know, wow, you know, and it's geez, Jason Service sure is good at turf sprints. Why is that? Oh, he's just good with turf sprinters. You know, and it's weird. And I guess I'm feeling not fully guilty, but I feel a little bit guilty because these are all things we've all known. These are all things that we've all assumed. And I guess we just deferred that someone else was going to figure it out for us. You know, what was I going to do? You know, boycott a race that one of them is in? I'm not sure that was going to get the job done anyways. But it just is a weird feeling that I'm having at the moment where I feel like a lot of us, and I say us in quotes, and I say it softly, were complicit.
I think that's too hard. That's too hard. It's too hard on us. I mean, first of all, what are we supposed to do? You participate in a game. You trust the game to be able to come up with rules that are going to be fair to all the participants in the game, the fellow horsemen and the horse players. I can't accept the idea that we're complicit. I'll also throw out there the idea that the lines are very blurry. I mean, just because somebody is doing something illegal doesn't mean it's hard to know where horsemanship begins and chemistry ends and vice versa. It's very complicated, but I caution heavily against putting any blame on the likes of us for who are horse players for betting, especially when you're talking about these high class races, the product that's in front of us. It's up to horse racing to figure out a way to police itself, and it's embarrassing in a way that you have an outside government agency stepping in to do these things, and it's there could be repercussions there that we haven't even begun to think about yet.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I'll go to sleep tonight. I don't feel like I like did something. It's just a weird feeling, you know.
It's gross.
The weirdest part is like everyone's acting shocked. Right. I guess maybe we're more shocked.
I think we're shocked that it happened.
Caught them.
I think we're shocked happened because we've been watching supernatural behavior for a long time. But again, I mean, it's not. I also just want to point out, it's not like these were the two supernatural guys and every other trainer adheres to certain standards. So I just want to be careful about being overly judgmental. I mean, obviously, look, we'll see what happens. If the indictment ends up playing out the way it does, there's no question that the book should be thrown at these individuals. But, and hopefully there is a cascading effect that helps to clean up the whole sport. But
that's what I was going to ask you, is what do we do next? What should we do next? What do you think will happen next? Because those could be two different things. Like where should we go? Not so much as horse players, or a lot of it's out of our control, but where if you were the commissioner, where what are we doing? Are we changing some rules? Are we taking a heavier step? Are we lifetime banning people for any violent? Well, where do we go to save face and to prevent this from happening again?
I'd want more information, first of all. I'd love to know how this case went down. Who was this, an informant that fingered these guys and then a case was built? How was this case, let's see what happens with this case. Let's make sure it's as ironclad as it seems that it is. Again, I have no problem with not rushing to guilt before every step of the process is done. But if it plays out the way it seems like it's going to play out, I'd really like to know how this case came to be, because I think that could be a template. However the wrongdoing was uncovered, maybe that's a template to target other places where one could hypothesize that supernatural activities are going on. And just by the nature of this going down, you would think that other people participating in illegal activity would be, let's just say, thinking twice. But if you can establish some sort of template that the sport can follow to get these situations under control and discovered, because, our own out-of-competition testing didn't do a damn thing, and nothing that the sport has done within itself has done anything to produce these kind of results. So I think that's where I'd start, is how did this exactly go down? Was it something anomalous, or was it something that could potentially be repeated on a bigger scale to try to look at racing nationwide? Now, what will happen? I don't know. I'd like to think that there'll be a call just in across the sport to be more vigilant about this kind of thing and to prevent cheating on this scale. It doesn't sound, as I say it out loud, that sounds very naive, and I don't know what's going to happen, but it sure feels to me like something that I want some more information, and I want to hope that this can be a turning point, a sea change that sends a message that this type of behavior isn't acceptable and the risk isn't worth it if you're somebody who is considering playing by their own rules. What do you think?
I feel like one of the things that stuck out to me in the report was one of the accused said they don't test for this in America. No way we get shot. We get caught. Paraphrasing, I might have said one of those words wrong. So for me, it's like this is like more of an example of like why we should have a unified body, why all of these racetracks should understand that, just like all the NFL teams realize that we're better, although there's some annoying things that will come from it, we are better off under one umbrella with one one person or one body
a board,
making decisions
perhaps.
For the whole.
Yeah.
Right. Because essentially, if the likes of CDI, Schronic, Del Mar, Keeneland, Oaklawn, if I'm forgetting someone, forgive me. Breeders' Cup. If they were to all come together.
Jockey Club.
You know, Jockey Club. You know, chip in a couple here, a couple there, a couple here, a couple there. There's no reason why we could not be just like the Olympics are and have state-of-the-art testing. I mean, look, I don't know the dollar amounts of that, but I would imagine that more money is handled and more money exchanges hands in horse racing than it does in track and field.
No doubt.
I mean, maybe I sound ignorant by saying that. Maybe there's like something I'm missing.
No,
but
you're definitely
to me,
right.
There's enough money that if everyone pulled together and saw the importance of it and put all of their chips into one basket, that we could have that person and that, or that team, or that board, or that organization that runs the whole thing, we can pay for that next level of testing. Because from my understanding, like I said, uninformed understanding, if whatever was happening with these horses was happening in a track athlete, it would have been caught.
It's hard, man. Testing is so tricky because, and we've seen this, you know, obviously we've seen high-profile cheaters get caught, but in general terms, the cheaters, it's simple economics. There's more money to be made cheating than there is in catching the cheaters. That's one of the reasons I'm so interested about the process by which this news story went down today. But even if it's the what we've talked about before, the cop car with nobody in the middle of the highway, I do believe having something more stringent than what we have now and the idea of holding on to samples that could be tested later when new discoveries are made, there's no doubt that more could be done. But I don't think it's, and I think it has to be done if only, and I'll just be perfectly honest, this isn't the kind of thing I'm usually this honest about, but if only to present the idea of integrity, I do believe you need to have some sort of stronger testing system, even if it's a little bit of a tricky situation where the cheaters are likely to be ahead. I think this incident might mandate that something like that need to be done. But I'm very curious. I think there's going to be more of this story to be told when we find out how this situation went down, and maybe we get a blueprint for dealing with other people who are engaged in wrongdoing that can be followed. And I don't think, you know, this was clearly, am I correct that you've read the indictment? I have not. Am I correct in saying this was not at all the result of testing?
Oh no! This is all the result of dumb people texting each other, calling each other, and saying things that they should not be saying if they're acting in the way they're acting.
Which is so
like
terrifying.
Never,
it's so
seen
terrifying.
A gangster movie before.
Right. It's so terrifying because that does suggest that this could have easily been. I mean, am I correct? Having read the indictment, is it suggested to you that this could have easily been gotten away with a basic knowledge of how to be a criminal?
Yeah, someone's doing it right. There's just no doubt. Someone in the world is doing it smart in not getting caught, because they're not, they didn't put themselves in the situations that this situation that they found themselves in. One of the situations you mentioned testing, Pete, and you'll see this when you read it, is one of the situations, and I won't, because look, I don't want to mess up the facts, so I'll just like hint around it and then you guys can read it and look at it. One of the situations was a horse was given something, and they found out they were going to be tested, and they were nervous about the testing. And so they said the vet said, well, it won't show up. If it happens to show up, it could look like this legal substance that's an overage. So they said, okay, well, can we give that legal substance then? So that we're like, if it happens, we can say, well, we have that to fall back on. Yeah. Yeah. And that was a trip that you and I didn't make. And that's all I'll say. A trip one day, there was a trip opportunity. We didn't go on it. That was that day. So if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
All right, JK, out of that comment, I'm going to ask you a question just randomly about maximum security. This is a horse who is recently, 2 days ago, I'm on TV talking about how I was wrong to doubt him. He stamped himself, and we'll see what happens the rest of the year, but potentially a horse in the same conversation as Gunrunner, Arrogant, the better older horses of the last 10 years. Now, I know we're still just dealing with the indictment stage. It's none of this is official yet. But sitting here right now, what does this make you think about Maximum Security and his legacy, as it were?
Honestly, it makes me think about those times in my life where I've logged into my bank account and I keep hitting refresh, like waiting to see if the wire cleared. Like, come on. Come on, this $12 million in the refresh, wanting to see. I mean, look, we thought Mike Smith had a big fine over there. I don't know if the money's released yet. I don't know.
Unbelievable.
But I will tell you this: if I happened to own a filly who ran second, I'd be pretty upset, and I probably would have met with my lawyer today.
I'm sure just that's saying, happening. Yes.
And in that situation, I would imagine that a letter would be sent to a certain group of people that if that wire has not already happened, might not happen for a minute. Yeah. Look, I don't want to knock the
horse is the horse, right? You feel like you're being a jerk,
but here's the thing,
knocking
though.
The horse.
What was your biggest obstacle with the horse? In his entire career, the biggest obstacle that you had to get over with the horse, what was it?
I mean, it's cliche, I suppose, but the fact that he started in a maiden claimer, it was always just hard to believe that what we were seeing on track was representative of what that horse was naturally capable of. Did I say that politically enough? Should I run for office?
I'm giving you that look of like, exactly. Okay. You know, like that's so if there was a world in which a 16 claimer could turn into winning the richest race in the history of the world, and then you read the indictment, you kind of say, ooh, maybe, I don't know, just saying, like, that doesn't all line up well and so
it's sad when the, you know, you're cynical, you know, we've made cynical comments. You referenced your emoji. I referenced a situation once where I had been, I was a little bit sick and had to take some pharmaceuticals to do a live appearance and said that I felt like a horse in a certain trainer's barn. I've made the cynical jokes too. And it's a little bit depressing. To you know, these are just quips that we are making. We're not, you know, we weren't like, you know, meant to be making dire accusations. And the reality, I mean, the sad truth of the matter is that the reality sounds a lot worse than the cynical jokes that we're making. Was the Saudi race specifically cited in the indictment?
It wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't. There was the sprint for XY Jet was cited in the indictment. That's not the same thing. I'm just saying that there was an international mention in the indictment, but it was not the Saudi race. But I also don't think that, like, whatever the FBI has been working on, like, it feels like they've been working on this indictment for longer than before that race started.
Yeah. No doubt
here's what
about
I'll say about the question that you asked. here's my obstacle. And I don't want to say horses' names, and it's probably not a fun game, but a game that our listeners can do. There was a performance this summer that was one of the most magnificent performances I've ever seen that reminded me of the first time I ever walked into Churchill Downs and where Rachel Alexandra won by 20. That performance is now in question when I compare it to that other moment of Rachel.
Oh, no doubt about it.
There's horses that won overseas winning the Dubai World Cup that were brilliant. Arrogate, Curlin. Horses like that rank very high on my list, that now I have a hard time putting Maximum Security next to them, above them, or below them because of this situation.
Yeah, he's sort of.
And there's another
island.
Horse that I thought was just a running son of a gun that ran second in a race in a big tournament that I needed for the whole tournament. And now I wonder if he was really as good as I thought he was. It's just weird. It's a weird thing. Like, I know we all thought it, right? But, you've been in a relationship where you thought your significant other was up to no good, and it's like, it never really pans out. I knew it, but you're still shocked. And that's how I feel right now.
It is shocking. And it's right. And to be fair, and horse players are a paranoid bunch, and there were, maybe these two trainers. If you made most horse players make a top 10 of trainers you suspected of wrongdoing, they would probably be in the top 4 of most of those lists. I mean, I'll be honest.
They'd be the top 2, Pete.
Yeah.
They would be the top 2 hands down across the country. It wouldn't be if you gave an Eclipse Award to the biggest suspected cheater, it would be a knockdown drag out to the wire between those two.
Well, and it sounds like there may well have been a reason why, but it's not like they'd be the only two names on the list, I guess, is my point. And that's why I don't want to rush to judgment and just be like, hey, see, just because we thought these guys were dirty, I think it's a little bit of a slippery slope. I think what obviously separates this case from the base speculation we're talking about is the fact that we have actual incredibly damning evidence in this one.
Problem with them, right?
Yeah.
Is that they were moving bad horses up at an alarming rate. And as a horse player, when you get beat by a horse that you can't find on paper, and the horse beat you by 7 and you were never in the race, it breeds some resentment and it causes you to say, what a cheater. He's such a cheater. Oh, sick. This game is sick. What a cheater. And so you're right. The horse players are very skeptical beings, right? But they're usually skeptical because they feel like they're smart enough to be able to see something coming. And when those guys would do that to you, it hurt. Now, is there other people that are cheating in this country? Sure, probably. But I think that some of the people that you still maybe especially one of that guy's cheating, they're not in your face as much as I felt like those two guys were. Those guys will take 60 lifetime buyer horses and turn them into 97s. And that was weird,
But just because they did it inelegantly doesn't mean that it's okay for other people to do it. I mean, I guess that's where I'm curious in the where do we go from here discussion. If we think these are not the only two guys behaving in an unfair manner, I mean, how do we as a sport turn our attention to this issue on a larger scale? That's one I'm really interested to see the industry response on. I do think something needs to be done in terms of, at the very least, making the appearance of the sport as a consortium of independent interests trying to find some way to act as one body to try to clear this stuff up going forward. Because otherwise, I just think you're going to have, how do you not have major integrity concerns? I mean, say what you will about the overage and how that was handled. But, that was certainly obviously a different, very different category than this. But the way that it was handled did not suggest that these independent bodies across the country are capable of dealing with something like overages in a fair way. How are they expected to deal with this bigger picture issue, I ask?
I don't know. I think this is a first step, right? I mean, I think, we've handled controversy on the show before, and I don't think it's nearly as as big of a deal than what we previously did with the BCBC stuff, but and the collusion stuff. But I think, you know, the first thing you got to do is like put that police car in the middle of the road. And when someone does something, you pop them. You let them know, like, hey, big fella, we're watching. And if you do it wrong, we're going to get you. And you're going to end up like these other jokers with your family inside crying and you in handcuffs walking out the door. Obviously, that's not going to happen for cheating in the BCBC or whatever. But we're letting people know that it's not going to work. You're not going to be able to get away with it. And we're going to call you out for it. I think that's the first step. Okay. This indictment is going to deter people. There are some people that aren't answering their phones today. There are some people that are deleting people's numbers in their phones. There's people that are throwing phones in oceans. You know what I'm saying? And like, and moving forward, they're going to probably try to find the straight and narrow. And I bet you their percentages will show it. And we'll all speculate who those people are. I don't have anybody in mind, right? But I'm saying that, like, I think that this is a step in the right direction. Now, what things do we do? You know, how do we, you know, we hike up our pants, and what things do we do and change to prevent it from happening again and to continue to deter, right? We had the disqualification of the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. We had the disqualification of the leading into the NHC. We changed the rules. We released plays. We've done things that make it better. I guarantee you the amount of cheating that was going on 3 years ago in contests is down from, you know, now. It just is. And I would imagine this will lead to the same thing. This is a bigger and more serious problem.
Sure.
Obviously.
But I take your analogy.
Right. And so I just think we just got to, you know, I just hope the powers that be realize that there's an opportunity to clean up something and to fix something that was broken. Got to have a little courage, you know, have a little courage in pissing some people off and taking the right steps into getting it going back in the right direction. I mean, we're on the edge, man. And some are waiting to push us off.
That's right. That's a very, very well put. Very well put.
We better figure it out quickly.
There, we've talked about this before on the show in other contexts, but the idea of and I'm not even sure if this is true, but I've heard it enough that I feel like it is probably true, that in Chinese, there's the same character represents crisis and opportunity. I mean, maybe this is the opportunity for these different bands of this industry to get together and try to put together a cohesive stance. Because let me tell you, if you don't, the government is going to. And I think we can all agree that the industry working together to police itself is far better than the idea of government agency getting involved and the red tape and various nonsense that's going to involve. And if we don't do it...
And the government...
You know, you like
and the
that
government,
idea?
By the way, you know, the government is your annoying uncle who's trying to get you to explain a trifecta box. So if you want them making the decisions about our industry,
keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing if that's the case. But it's time. I mean, we've seen some industry banding together, not in a complete way, but we've seen some positive signs of disparate groups getting together. I'm thinking of the Thoroughbred Safety Alliance. There are examples of disparate elements in the industry trying to work together. And you'd like to think that, you know, if this type of thing doesn't shock you into wanting to get over those hurdles, I really don't know what will. Now, I originally had on my list of things I didn't fully look at Twitter. Like I said, I feel bad because there's like so many messages, but I did see, you know, a few goofballs who I was considering personally calling out and telling the world what I think of them, but it feels small. After spending 50 minutes with you here, JK, talking about this serious issue that's facing our game, I feel like it's almost petty to call out some nudniks. But you're welcome to, and I will respond.
Not too small for me. Not too small for me. Look, okay, you're a positive EV guy, so you surely understand that. Right? You have 1,400 followers, buddy. Right? 1,400. We have more than that. Right? More people.
How does that guy
to the show?
How does that piece of human garbage have 1,400 followers, though? Can I ask you? Oh, I did what I said I wasn't going to do. Darn it. You got me.
No, talk about it. Okay, look. Look, Charlie Davis, and I'm going to stop trying to say his name because it's important.
You even want to say his name? No, I don't know if I want his name on the show. I'm tempted to go back and edit it out. No, you can go.
I was annoyed because he took a shot at my man, like my man PTF. First of all, PTF was at the birth of Perrin. There was no emergency podcast when Perrin was born. The second thing is, the only emergency podcast we've done is when the Kentucky Derby favorite scratched, and like a couple of other times. So the inaccurate information is par for the course. The second thing is my man's at Cheltenham drinking Pims and watching races.
Not
that
Pims
are
at Cheltenham,
drug-free.
Man. Not Pims. Real ale and Guinness. Yeah, Pims, that's asking.
There were probably drug-free races you were enjoying. And here's what I'll say, right? Here's what I'll say. Let me apologize, because maybe if I apologize, it'll get all this to go away. Okay? And sorry for this aside if you have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay. I want to say I'm so sorry to Charlie Davis for not saying hi to him that one day at the Kentucky Derby. And he took a picture of me because I didn't say hi. Charlie, Johnny, sorry. Get over yourself, big fella.
I do like the irony of calling a little fella big fella. That's always good with me too.
I also need people to pass that along to him, because we blocked each other, so we don't talk. You know where to find me, little guy, if you need to.
I think he probably, one of the many who pretends to detest us who listens to every show religiously. I wouldn't be surprised one bit. But it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that people can be so silly, but people are entitled to their opinions. They could say whatever, but sometimes it gets annoying. And just for the record, the only podcast happening at all at Perrin's birth would have been back in the You Bet days for Derek Simon. We didn't even debut until 2014, just to set the record straight. And props to him. I do like to claim that we're the oldest continuously running podcast, if you count the place with the letters. But Derek Simon,
Perrin's been on more podcasts than tournaments that guy's won.
And it's not close, I'd like to say.
No, it's not even close.
Oh, it's a shame. It's a shame. I think people have their problems. For real, I'll say about that guy, and this is not me being nasty, I hope he gets the help he needs. I hope he gets the help he needs. All right, we've been on for almost an hour. We don't have time to talk about the racing from last weekend. We're going to have to put a pin in that. I may take late week off, JK, and production meeting in the middle of the show, and leave you to deconstruct stuff with others. Am I correct that it just would feel completely hollow and pointless to talk about, authentic right now? It just doesn't feel
No,
right.
We can bag it in 15 seconds. Authentic is very good. He wasn't green. The horse that Double R gave out that won the 11, he might be pretty good, and he sure paid good.
King Guillermo. He ran a big figure.
Right. King Guillermo.
He ran a big figure.
I
think it came back a 9. It might have come back a 99 to Authentic's 98. It sure didn't look as derby-like as what Authentic put up.
I stole Double R's line and used it on Fox, and I felt instantly guilty when I did it.
What did you say?
I said, look, the horse. I said it like it was all mine, too. I feel dirty. The Double R.
Now, that you should feel guilty for.
No, he buried me on the show, so I felt like I owed it to him.
Oh, he did bury you on the show.
And he walked out of there with more money than
he sent the picture.
He
he sent the picture, so you can say.
No, I pointed out that he said that it wasn't that the horse needed turf when he ran on the turf going two turns. He needed the two turns. And maybe this was going to hit him between the eyes, and it absolutely did. And he made money, so he wasn't just on here talking about it.
No,
so,
he made money for
awesome.
A lot of listeners too. I feel bad. I feel so small because as many messages as I got that I was complaining about getting that I haven't even read based on the events of today, we had basically just as much of people who cut some money out of that because of the great work from Double R and Matt Carruthers on that show.
Mischievous Alex for not Jason but John's service was impressive as well, and so we'll see what happens with that one.
Not as strong of a figure, also not super strong visually in my opinion, and not as strong of a figure. But that is
more
a good
of a
point.
Cutback type for me. Oh, you know who gained my respect, Pete, and then we'll hop off here is Sol Vellante gained my respect. I was dismissive of that horse. Two back-to-back big races. He's the type of horse that could run, third, fourth in the Kentucky Derby. I don't love him to win the race unless it falls apart, but he's a horse that I think should be respected moving forward.
Two more quick points. That Sam Davis now looking like a bit of a key race with the King Guillermo setting the pace, Sole Volante coming from behind to win. Of course, the horse that made the move to break the race apart, Independence Hall, I feel super interested in him wherever he turns up next. And how you feeling about your comment that Thousand Words is guaranteed to hit the board in the Kentucky Derby now?
I mean, I don't feel
you want to take that one back? You want to do over
no,
on that one?
No, I'll write it out. He's still got the points, I think. I think he's got the points to get in at the moment. And then one more horse that I worry that we'll forget if we don't say it now.
Do it.
The filly that Bob Baffert debuted.
Oh,
Gamine.
Oh, no. I was watching on TV and raving about her. Gamine.
They got 1.775 million more to get back, but it feels like they might get it with that thing, right?
She
was impressive.
Awesome. Yeah.
What the Oaks is going to be a heck of a race if she can find a way to get in. We get a little bit of her, a little bit of Venetian Harbor. Donna Veloce comes back and she's running. I mean, we're sitting on a nice race for the Kentucky Oaks on Friday. So
let's talk Donna Veloce for 1 minute. Donna Veloce for 1 minute came back very impressive, beat the impressive McCarthy runner Speech rather easily. You and I remember having the conversation at the Breeders' Cup that this was our test horse. Were we just wrong? Is this one going to be excellent around a mile and an eighth? Is Donna Veloce a serious Oaks contender? I have not seen the figure yet on the Santa Isabel.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, I mean, I don't think that she's not our test filly all of a sudden, right? I mean, she still could be, but I'm going to change my test pick, not because of anything that she did, but I have since fallen in love with Venetian Harbor, I still think Venetian Harbor should win the mile on an eight Kentucky Oaks, but that cutback to the 7 furlongs at Saratoga with, you know, a deep racetrack. I want Venetian Harbor and the Acorn and in the test.
Very interesting. Very interesting. You're not ruling out her ability to get the mile and an eighth. It doesn't sound like.
No, not at all. I think she'll get the mile and an eighth, no problem. I'm just saying, like, she's done some things that I thought were pretty special.
It was an 88 buyer speed figure for Donna Veloce in there, just for the record. All right, it's getting late. It's Cheltenham tomorrow. We've done, I think, the best we can do to this point. JK, thank you. Your energy and desire to do this show, you know, I could have gone either way. And you, I'm very, very glad we did it. I think folks will get a raw and honest picture of what our thoughts are in this moment. Obviously, we're hitting a moving target here. We know that. There'll be more to talk about as we get more information. Still very happy that, you know, decided not to just spout off on Twitter without all the information. I stand by that. Usually I give out mutes on Twitter like candy on Halloween. Tonight I was giving out blocks like candy on Halloween. If you are a loyal listener and happen to favorite a tweet that you regret and want to get unblocked and you want to contact me through the In the Money podcast website, I will probably unblock you. But I just didn't have the patience for it tonight, JK.
No, look, dude, Twitter etiquette 101. And I see this all the time. I see things that are funny shots at people that I love. I don't favorite them. I laugh. I giggle. It was funny. But it's my guy. Like, I can't favorite a tweet or a shot at my guy. And my whole thing is like, I've learned I can't see the negativity. It just bothers me too much. So I just block people that I feel could lead down that negative path. And if you like stuff that shots at me or my boys or my people or people that I love, you gone.
I like it. And I'm starting to come around to your point of view. I was always worried that blocking made me look thin-skinned, but at this point, I just don't care. There's some things I just can't deal with, and I'm just going to leave it there for now. Again, if you're a loyal listener and you mistakenly favorited something and you want to get off the naughty list, reach out to me. I'm sure something can be arranged. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I want to doubly thank Jonathan Kinchin. Really basically deserves a producer credit for this one as well for making this show happen. We'll thank our sponsors, 10 Strike Racing, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, Stats Race Lens, and all the rest. Most of all, I want to thank all of you, the listeners. You were right, JK. It is, in a great way, very flattering that folks wanted to hear our take on this. Didn't want to give you 200 characters. We will give you 64 minutes. How about that? I think that's a fair trade for everybody. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.